As they say, what goes up must come down. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 8th of November. Welcome aboard. And yeah, we're talking about the stock market. We'll share details in just a bit. In other business news, Amazon HQ2 headed to the Queens neighborhood of Long Island City. Whoa, we'll tell you about that. Spoiler alert, 11,000 UPS workers could be on strike as of Monday. We, by the way, are swimming in oil. Sears to close an additional 40 stores early next year. And in case you've run out of stuff to worry about, the housing market ain't looking so good. We'll detail the concerns coming up. Those stories, plus a conversation with Dr. Eddie Moore Jr. about business and race relations. This is something you do not want to miss. It's all ahead here on the Business News Hour.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Aurion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Tero International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Michelle from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa. And Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us? You can do that on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. You can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Let's get into this Amazon story, shall we? As reports emerged this week that Amazon was close to an agreement to set up in the city, the prospect of all those jobs, shoppers, and potential tenants or homebuyers drew cheers in the fast-growing neighborhood across the East River from Manhattan. Now, Long Island City is largely residential with strong demand for high-rise apartment and condo units, thanks to its proximity to Manhattan and its comparatively affordable prices. Now, if Amazon moves into the neighborhood, local restaurant owners say they will welcome the business growth that's likely to follow. Meanwhile, New York City Mayor de Blasio last week announced $180 million of investments in the neighborhood for improvements that would help support that demand, $95 million of which is set aside for sewer and water main improvements alone. You know, it's still location, location, location. Stay tuned. It's a developing story. UPS Freight is clearing all of its shipments this week to ensure its network is completely empty by tomorrow. That's because its 11,000 drivers who are represented by the Teamsters Union could be on strike by Monday. UPS Freight and the Teamsters Freight National Bargaining Committee have reached a standstill on contract negotiations. Every 5 years, the two parties negotiate on a labor contract to apply to UPS Freight drivers, and starting yesterday, Teamster members across the country started voting on UPS's last, best, and final offer contract. The votes will be tallied on Sunday. Now, if a majority does not approve of the contract, UPS Freight drivers will not work on Monday. It would be the first UPS strike since 1997, when 185,000 employees held a 16-day walkout. The drivers' negotiating committee is demanding restrictions on subcontracting, higher wage increases, better pay for drivers who perform dock work, an elimination of certain requirements for pension and vacation benefits, and other protections. Well, the Federal Reserve held interest rates steady today and said that ongoing strong job gains and household spending have kept the economy on track. But, of course, today is not December. Quote from the report, "The labor market has continued to strengthen and economic activity has been rising at a strong rate. In the policy statement, the Fed said that it's leaving intact its plans to continue raising rates gradually. The statement reflected little change on the U.S. central bank's outlook for the economy since the last policy meeting in September, saying that the economy is, quote, roughly balanced, end quote. Policymakers, however, noted that business investment had moderated from its rapid pace earlier in the year, and that is a possible drag on future economic growth. The Fed has raised rates three times this year and is widely expected to do so again in December. Well, crude oil took another beating today, and on the heels of growing output means an oversupply of oil. And it may not be done. The U.S. Energy Information Administration's forecast this week that U.S. oil production will average 12.1 million barrels a day in 2019, that marks an upward revision from its last projection. If confirmed during revisions, it would more firmly establish the United States as the world's top oil producer. The other producers in the top three are Saudi Arabia and Russia, and they, too, have been dialing up production since June. All of this while China increases its imports of oil. Chinese trade data released today showed the nation's oil imports rose to an all-time high of 9.6 million barrels per day in October. Now, while all of this is good news for motorists, freight companies, and the airlines, it ain't so good for oil investors. We'll check the market condition on oil in just a couple of minutes. Well, Sears Holdings said today it plans to close 40 more stores early next year as it continues to slim its business and seeks to stymie losses under bankruptcy protection. The new closures are in addition to the 142 unprofitable stores the department store chain is already expected to close toward the end of this year. Now, when it filed for bankruptcy in early October, the company had roughly 700 Sears and Kmart stores still open for business. It's shuttered hundreds of locations over the years, including spinning about 240 stores off in 2015 to form real estate entity Seritage. The company said liquidation sales at the 40 locations set to close in February will start late next week. And by the way, there are no additional Iowa stores in the latest round of store closures. Well, in case you've run out of things to worry about, check this story. While Wall Street is focused on trade, interest rates, and the midterm elections, a potentially bigger risk to the markets has almost gone unnoticed. What is that? Well, housing starts have slid, prices in some high-profile markets have weakened, and share prices of publicly traded home builders have plummeted. Home purchases have a multiplier effect on consumer spending since they often generate further sales of furniture, appliances, electronics, and marble and granite kitchen countertops, for crying out loud. So a slowdown in housing can be very, very much a big deal. And a slowdown is apparently what we're experiencing right now. According to Redfin, sellers of more than one in four U.S. homes cut their asking price in the 4 weeks that ended on September 16th. That's the highest percentage since 2010, and you know what was going on in 2010, right? Home builder stocks have dropped in value by 31% since the first of the year, and 30-year fixed mortgage rates have bumped up to 5%, and while that's still much higher, that's still low, rather, it's much higher than the 3.5% figure back in 2016. Now, for prospective home buyers who haven't been in the market long, that's a pretty big jump, and maybe a key psychological barrier. Housing. Yeah, just something else to occupy your mind. Well, what a difference a day makes. Stocks closed mixed today after big gains in yesterday's session as traders assessed the latest monetary policy decision from the Federal Reserve. The Dow gained nearly 11 points today. The S&P 500 fell 0.4%, led lower by the energy sector. Oil, energy, get it? Yeah. The NASDAQ lagged, dropping 0.5% as Qualcomm slumped. The Fed kept interest rates unchanged. That was widely expected. However, the central bank said in a statement it expects to further gradual increase in the overnight rate. That could be like December. The Fed also did not mention the volatility that's hit the market recently. Wall Street eagerly awaited the decision as they looked for clues about the central bank's futures moves on monetary policy. The Fed has hiked rates three times this year and is forecast to raise them once more before year end. The Dow ended the day up those nearly 11 points to 26,191. The NASDAQ fell 39 points to 75.30, and the S&P 500 was off 7 points to 28.06. Gold continues its fall, down $4.40 to $1,224.30 an ounce. Oil is not yet under $62 a barrel, but getting close at $60.61. And the 10-year T-note gained a fraction at 3.24%. When we come back, a conversation with noted author and nationally known speaker Dr. Eddie Moore Jr. about what business needs to better understand when it comes to race and jobs and changes in our society. Dr. Eddie Moore Jr., coming up next here on the Business News Hour.